Amen. Let's be seated. This morning, I am going to preach on the subject of more than conquerors. Amen. We are more than conquerors. How many of you know we are more than conquerors? Praise the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. Well, if you don't understand it all, you will by the end of this message. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start. Romans chapter 8. And I've got a few scriptures to share with us this morning. I've got to preach this message by the anointing of the Lord this morning to break the yoke. Father, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light every time. Give us that understanding this morning of the position that we have in Christ. And in spite of everything and all the things around us, help us to understand this message this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And glorify thyself, O Lord, and bless thy word into our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I mean, it's only 20 to 12 and seems like some of us are asleep already. So let's say it again. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that sounds much better. Now, Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to start here at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, verse 35. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? See, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How many of you can say more than conquerors? Yes, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now that is Paul. See, that's Paul. But are you persuaded? See, because this is Paul's testimony right here. Now here's what Paul said. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, even things that have not yet happened, they cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. There is nothing except sin. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 tells us that. He says, our iniquities have made him to hide his face from us. Our sins have separated between us and our God. That's the only thing that will separate you from the Lord. So, but you must come to God. See? And doesn't matter where we are. Even if any man sin, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. And if we come to him, his love covereth the multitude of sins. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Today, I want to talk to us for a few minutes about the things that God allows in our lives. And why does he allow these cycles? See, cycles of prosperity, cycles of blessings, cycles of adversity, cycles of difficulty, you know, seasons, cycles, and all of these things that he does. The story is given to us from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, and some of you have heard me preach this before, the Lord said, one of the first things he did, see, created a light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. How many of you know the Lord did that in Genesis chapter 1? So when he created the light, listen to what he said. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Genesis 1 and verse 3. Here's what the Lord did. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So the very first day, God separated the darkness from the light, but he kept both of them side by side. See? Now God, and I've said this before, he could have said, but he didn't. But he could have said, let there be light, and let the darkness be no more. And if he had said that, there would have never been any more darkness. How many of you know that's true? But he didn't say that. He only said, let there be light. He left the darkness in place. He even gave the darkness a name, because there's a reason to it. He even named the darkness. He called it night. He called the light day. So God put them side by side. And I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again this morning. I don't care how long the night lasts, there is going to be the day.
Hallelujah.
There is no night that can ever last forever. See, you can go even sometimes during the winter months, you have longer days, I mean longer nights or whatever it is. You know, but I guarantee you, the day is going to break. The day always breaks, because God set that covenant in the heavens, and he said, let these things be for seasons and for times and so forth. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he tells us there is a time for everything. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from it. A time to gather stones, a time to scatter stones, a time to laugh, a time not to laugh, and all of these things. A time for blessings and a time for adversity. See, there is a time for prosperity. There is a time for being in want. There is a time for having plenty. There is a time for not having enough. The Lord, he does all these things. How and why? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And verse 14. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14. Why does the Lord do all these things? Why does he allow? You know, some of you are going through some things this morning. See? And, you know, there's a song that some people say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Well, the Lord knows your troubles. See? There is no trouble that you have. There is no problem that you've been that is not common to man. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun.
Yes,
so that song is not exactly correct. Because somebody has seen that trouble before. And even if nobody has heard it, never seen it, the Lord does. He knows about it. And he already paid the price. Now see, here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I want to read at verse 14. This is the reason why the Lord, he allows this thing. Say, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Why? Because God has set the one over against the other. What's the reason for doing that? So that to the end, that men should find nothing after him. You know, he does that so that we might always seek for him. You know, sometimes God, he will allow some of these challenges and buffetings to bring us back to our senses. You know, to make us to cry unto God. You know, but in all these things, I want you to know that you are more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah.
No matter what comes against you, the Lord, he gives you the victory.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to Psalms 27 and verse 1. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No matter what happens, he said, the Lord is with me. And listen to what he said in the latter part of that psalm. You know, David, he was a conqueror. You know, David wouldn't back down. And we're going to read something about David in a few minutes. And here's what he said. Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Are you confident when situation arises against you, when you have conflict, when the devil assaults you? Are you confident that the Lord has made you more than a conqueror? Do you know that you are coming out on the winning side? If you know that, say amen.
Amen.
How many people know that this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. He says, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. See? The Lord, he will lift up your head. even above your enemies. Now, all of the things that we go through, no matter what it is, you know, they are designed, whether it's an assault from the Lord, from the devil, or it's a test from the Lord, these things are designed to keep us in spiritual shape. See, some of us need a fitness program, a spiritual fitness program. We all do, see? And so the Lord, He allows these things to keep us in shape. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read at verse 6. You know, here is the way that Paul puts it in perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 6. He said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," that's the scripture I read to you in Genesis 1, "has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, we are troubled on every side. Are you troubled on every side? See? You are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. How many of you say amen? And you know, like prize fighters and so forth, I've said this before, if you knock down a good fighter, he's going to get up anyhow. See? And I'm, you know, here's what happens. You know, when they're fighting and you knock them down and so forth like that, see? It's not a problem. I've seen some fights where somebody got knocked down and still won the fight. You know, it's not getting knocked down, it's getting up. Some people stay down for the count. You know, and when they want to throw in the towel, the corner will say, "Stay down." But most of the time, they don't say that. Most of the time, the corner is saying, "Get up! Get up!" Amen. And I am in your corner today. And the Lord is in your corner today, telling you to get up. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Don't throw in the towel. Get up and quit ye like men. And stand up and fight for the Lord that has given you the victory. Take the possession. Stand in the victory of the Lord, knowing that you are more than a conqueror. Paul said, "I don't care what all these things are. None of these things move me, because I am more than a conqueror. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thrones, nor anything else can separate me from the Lord." He said, "I am more than a conqueror." He understood what it meant to go through all of these things. But he also understood that he, at the end, always gets the victory because the Lord is with him. And today I want you to understand, I'm going to read some promises for you this morning, just so you know that the Lord has given you the victory. Isaiah chapter 54. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54 this morning. I'm going to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. And I'm going to read verse 11. "O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest, and not comforted." See, are you afflicted this morning? Are you tossed up and down? Do you have difficulties? Do you have challenges? Do you have problems? Well, here's what the Lord says. He's going to give you rest. He's going to give you the victory. He says, "In righteousness," verse 14, "shall thou be established. And thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." Why? Because you are more than a conqueror. Praise ye the name of the Lord. How many of you say amen to that this morning? Yes, we are more than conquerors in the Lord, and I'm going to read some of these other verses for you this morning, just to see where the Lord is and where we are and what the things that he does for us. In Psalm 89, and I'm going to read two verses at 22 and 23. Psalm 89 verses 22 and 23 this morning. Here's what it says. "The enemy shall not exact upon thee, and the son of wickedness shall not afflict you. And the Lord even said, I will beat down your foes before your face, and I will plague them that hate you." See, that's what the Lord says. He will give you the victory every single time. Now, David was a man that understood the workings of the Lord. He knew everything. He knew how to get him the victory. And I'm going to read something to you about David in a minute, but I want to just read this promises and these things in the scripture. Start again to Isaiah chapter 49. And I'm going through this real quick because I don't want to take a lot of time this morning. Isaiah chapter 49, and I'm going to read at verse 13. Just a few promises for you this morning, and then I will read a story about in the life of David, and then we're going to preach something out of it. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people. Does the Lord give you comfort? He said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, speak comfortably to his people. Say to my people, no matter what you are going through, the Lord says, speak comfortably to them this morning that they are more than conquerors. You know, he will also have mercy on upon his afflicted. The Lord, he will lift you up, but there is something that you must do. And here's what you must do. There is something that you must do. You must recognize that you are more than a conqueror. You must not put your head down and allow the devil to ride all over you. You must arise and you must lift up your head. Praise ye the name of the Lord. David understood this secret and he said in Psalm 24, and I'm going to read it. Psalm 24, here's what David said about how the Lord gives you this victory. How the Lord makes you to have this constant victory and be not only a conqueror but an overcomer all the time. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Psalm 24 and verse 7. And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Isn't that so sweet? Let me read it to you another way. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Another way of reading that is this. Except you lift up your heads. Except you be ye lift up. See? Except you open up and let the King of glory come in. Except you do it that way, he cannot come in. See? While your head is bowed, he cannot come in. But when you lift up your head, I will lift up my eyes unto the heavens, from whence cometh my help. You know, one time I said, I believe several months ago right here in this church, I said, you know, have you ever seen little kids, you know, little kids, when they want their parents to carry them, what do? You know, they go like this. You know, they're always, you know, kind of lifting up their head and lift. There's no little child that wants to be carried that's going to bow down the head, you know, and be looking on the floor. They're always looking to the parent and lifting up their hands. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When they are lifting up their hands, then the parent picks them up. And they don't stop. When they want to be picked up, they won't stop unless you pick them up.
Right.
They've got their hand and they're joined, you know, they're crying and they've got their hand like that. You know, that's telling us something. See, and we, you know, we have a proverb that says, it is the child that lifts up the hands that the parent carries. You know, and that's the same way with us. When your head is bowed, you know, and you're going down, you put ashes and bulrushes over your head and so forth. Lord can't do very much for you because, see, that's putting the Lord to shame again. See, he already finished the work. He said it is finished on the cross. The Lord will not and cannot do anything more for us. He's already done it. See, to accomplish your victory, I mean. All we have to do is walk in that victory because the Lord already did it. The Lord already took, the Bible says, took all principalities and powers in Colossians and he made an open show of them. He nailed everything to the cross that was in handwriting against you. And he gave you the victory. He did that already. So all we have to do is walk in that victory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And in Psalms 3 verse 3, David said, blessed be the Lord, who is my glory and the lifter up of my head.
Hallelujah.
You know, even when you cannot lift up your head, if you are determined to lift up, God will help you to lift up your head.
Amen.
He said, David said, even the Lord is the lifter up of my head. You know, David understood that you've got to lift up your head. See? And even if for some reason you are way down, you can't lift up, look unto the Lord and be ye saved. When you look unto the Lord, He will cause your head to be lifted up. And once your head is lifted up in expectation, the King of glory, He will come in and He will bring deliverance. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, the Bible says that the Lord always not only gives us the victory, not only has He given us the victory in the past, He gives us the victory now, and He gives us the victory in the future. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 says, the Lord, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered us from so great a death, but also doth deliver and will yet deliver. He has delivered us in the past. He's delivering us right now. And He will yet deliver us. All we have to do is trust in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I want to read that 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. I just quoted for you verses 3 through 4. But let me read verses 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think verse 10 was actually the one that I quoted. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 was the one I quoted. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and we trust that He will yet deliver us. That is the place of comfort. That is the place of confidence in the Lord. That not only has He delivered us in the past, He is delivering us right now. Do you believe that the Lord is delivering you right now? No matter what you are going through, He is already delivering you. He is busy, you know, with the plans, the angels of the Lord. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits. They are sent forth to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. Even as you are here, Elijah, when he was sleeping, angels were busy cooking him a meal. See? He had so much faith that even while he was asleep, there was room service waiting for him. And it was by the angels. You know, now, wouldn't you like that kind of room service? But it is happening every day. You just got to open your eyes. The Lord is constantly working on your behalf. While you are here, now some of you had challenges. You are having some challenges right now. You know, and probably you drag yourself to church and so forth like that. But don't worry about it, because the Lord is working on your behalf. And before you leave this place today, He's going to give you that confidence to know that you are more than a conqueror. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, when you are a conqueror, what does a conqueror do? See? I mean, that means not only as we heard in those 3-day meetings and so forth that we had how to subdue and put all things under authority and so forth. You know, you rule, you take charge, you win, you get the victory. You are a conqueror. You win the battle. Now, all these little things that face us every day, God is not looking for us to be defeated. God is not glorified if we are defeated in our little challenges every day. But He is glorified when we have the victory in His name. When we have the victory in His name, so you must win. You want to rule the nations with a rod of iron? You want to do all of these things that the Lord promises? Then you must win all these little battles as well. See, because God is proving you here. See, He's proving you with these little things and everyday challenges that we face. But we must win every battle. And how do we win the battle? In the name of the Lord. Because He already gave us the victory. Now listen to this. I'm going to read the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because of time. But I'm going to tell you what the story is about. And I'm going to point out a few verses in 1 Samuel. I want you to turn with me. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, here's something that happened to David. The Amalekites, they came in. They burned the city of David. You know, they burned down their houses, kidnapped their wives and their children, carried all of them away and so forth. You know, and here's what happened. Verse 6. Now let me start at verse 3 so you can get a little background. Actually, I'll just start at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and all the people lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Well, see, they lamented because of all the things. They burnt their city, they burnt their house, they burnt everything. They took, carried away their wives and children and everything. There was nothing left. And they came, there was no, I mean, the spirit almost left them because, you know, there was no fight in them again. You know, they just, I mean, imagine you come and your house is burnt. Everything is lost. Wives, the children, everything, all of these things are gone. See, that's the way it was. Not only for David, but all the people. And the people wept sore. And in fact, they looked at David because David was the captain, see. And they were going to take out their frustration and their anger on him, you know, and so forth. They were actually going to stone him, the Bible says. And David, here's what happened. And David was greatly distressed in verse 6. For the people spake of stoning him. Because all the soul of the people were grieved. Every man was grieving for his sons and daughters. You know, they were all grieving, they all lamented, they were all crying and so forth. And David even cried. They all cried and so forth. But finally, David, always he found that rest. Always he knew where his help was at. See? And here's what he did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now that's what I want to speak about this morning concerning the man David. He knew how to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Now how do you think he did that? Well, the Bible didn't go into details of how he did that. But how can you encourage yourself in the Lord your God? Well, this is the way I do it. See? I stay with the word of the Lord. When the Lord says, I've got the victory, then I quote the scripture and I say, I've got the victory. Amen. And I don't look at the circumstances and so forth. And I say, Lord, I thank you. And I stir up myself and I say, Lord, you've given me the victory anyhow. In the face of all the challenges and difficulties and everything else, the Lord has given us the victory. And David, he encouraged himself in the Lord, you know. Now, when some people are faced with difficulties and tragedy and things like this, they go into depression. See? And some people, you know, little things or big things and so forth, you know. And instead of doing what the Bible says, James chapter 5 says, God's prescription. He says, if any man is afflicted, starting at verse 13, what does he say he should do? You know? If a man is afflicted, what did the Bible say we should do? I can't get an answer from the church. Well, maybe we don't know. So let's turn to it. James chapter 5. Turn with me to James chapter 5. Because we have to know what God prescribes. You can't just do things anyhow. Starting at verse 13. Is any man among you afflicted? Let him do what? Pray. Let him pray. Can I hear it from the whole church?
Let him pray.
Let him pray. He didn't say let him just pick up the phone and call his friend and talk about it. He didn't say pick up a gallon of your favorite ice cream and sit down in front of, on the couch. You know, that's what some people do. Get chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, when they are depressed.
Yeah.
As if that's going to do anything. You know. Now, the Bible says, let him pray. And this is what David did. He prayed. He stirred up himself. He reminded himself of some great things that the Lord had done for him. See, this is how you encourage yourself in the Lord. When you go up against Goliath, you remind yourself of the lion. You remind yourself of the bear. And you said, you this Goliath, the Lord that delivered the lion into my hand and the bear, he's going to deliver you into my hand as well. You know, when you go up against challenges and so forth, you remember what the Lord did for you yesterday. You remember what he did for you the day before, or last year, or whatever. And And that's how you stir up yourself. You pray in the Holy Ghost too, the Bible says, building up your most holy faith. You know, now if you have that prayer language, you use it. Because the Bible says that the Spirit knows how to make intercessions. You know, with groanings that we don't even understand. He can reach out, you know, into the heart of God. The Holy Spirit, He can reach out. He knows how to do it. See, so when you go in that Holy Spirit and you pray in the Spirit, God breaks many chains. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So the Bible says, when a man is afflicted, let him pray. That's what we should do when we're afflicted. Now, if you are merry, of course, let him sing praises and let him sing psalms. But when you are afflicted, let him pray. And that's what he said. So, David, let's go back to the story in 1 Samuel 30. So, David, after he encouraged himself in the Lord and so forth like that, and he prayed, you know, and finally he said, you know, he said, well, he said to the priest, bring me forth the ephod. And I'm going to inquire at the Lord. See, when David was in trouble, he inquired at the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, and he said, Lord, what am I going to do with all this situation? The wives, the children, the homes are burnt and everything. And even the people want to kill me and so forth. You know. And the Lord said, he said, should I pursue after these people? Am I going to get it? Am I going to get everything back? See, David always asked the Lord. See? And then the Lord said, yes, you will get it all back and you will lose none. And so after David had prayed and so forth, he bestirred himself, he got a few people and so on, and they pursued these people, and the story, you can read all of it, I don't have time for it this morning, he got everything back. Now, when you are faced with difficulties, if you panic, if you are depressed, if you lose hope, if you throw in the trial, if you do all of these things, the Holy Spirit's voice will not come through to you. He's speaking all the time, but you won't hear it. See, but rather than, you know, throw up and all of these things and so forth, why don't you encourage yourself in the Lord? Why don't you remember that you are more than a conqueror? That the Lord, He has given you the victory anyhow. These things that the devil raises up and all so forth like that, they are nothing but the trials of your faith. And the Bible says the trials of your faith, they bring forth endurance. You see? So that you might have patience. And so that you might learn. And as we read in Ecclesiastes, there is a reason why God puts it there, so that your heart will be after God. See? Because sometimes, you know, when the going is good, we may not remember the Lord so much. See? And but then a little trial, and then people begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Well, you should call upon the name of the Lord all the time. Praise ye the name of the Lord. We should seek His face all the time. Not exactly His hand. See, that's what people seek most of the time. They just want the Lord to do this. And we want the Lord to do the other thing. See, but the Bible said that David was a man after God's heart. Why? Because he was always seeking the heart of God. That's what he wanted. He wanted his heart. You know? Yeah, there's many ways that you can interpret that, but that's the one the Holy Spirit wanted me to say this morning. David was after God's heart. Wasn't exactly after God's blessings. In fact, he said one time, Lord, don't even give me too much blessing because I might forget you. See, if you give me too much, maybe I'll forget. If you gave me not enough, maybe I might steal and profane the name of the Lord. He said, so just give me enough, David said. You know, and so David, he was constantly seeking the face of the Lord. And today, well, I want to encourage us that when we face these difficulties, when you face these challenges, we should encourage ourselves in the Lord. Just like David did. And we should have confidence that the Lord has already given us the victory. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. And I'm going to read verse 16. Proverbs 24. And verse 16. Proverbs 24. And verse 16. Now this verse and the next verse that I'm going to read is going to tell us how we should respond to blows that the devil may deal us. You know, and if the devil assaults you, or he knocks you out, knocks you down, I should say, don't stay down for the count. You must get up. Here's what he says. Say, a just man or a righteous man falleth seven times, But he rises up again. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Every time that a righteous man falls, he rises up again. See, that's the secret. Arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. And now, the Bible says in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. If you want to turn to it or mark it down. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Say, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Now when you have that understanding, you know that you have the victory. You know that you are more than a conqueror. Well, being more than a conqueror doesn't mean that you are not going to get a few bruises. I don't know of anybody that ever went into battle that didn't get a few bruises. In fact, they call them battle won, battle tested, you know, those generals and so forth. They come out with some bruises. They come out with some things, but they have the victory at the end. See? So it doesn't mean you won't have some bruises. It doesn't mean you won't have... You see, the bruises are like the knocking downs. The Bible says the Lord knows my down sittings and my uprisings. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Whether you are down, the Bible says God who raises the dead. See, even anything that is dead, God is able to raise it up. See, God, he told Lazarus, come out of that grave. And he came out of there. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There is no condition that is too late or hopeless for the Lord. They said to Jesus, but you know, he's already 4 days in the grave. You know, the tradition is, you know, that after 4 days, there's already a stench. You know, when somebody is buried and so forth. And Jesus, he waited until there was exactly 4 days and more. And he said, for your sakes, I waited. See? So he waited until there was no doubt that the guy was dead, buried, and stinking. And now he comes to the grave, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he just said it like that. See? And in fact, before he said it, he prayed. Not for his own sake, but for the sake of the people. He said, Father, I thank you because you heard me already, but for their sake, I'm going to say it. So that they may believe that you have sent me. Now he turned to the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And I guarantee you, I don't care. It doesn't matter what the situation, how bad it is. It doesn't matter what the situation is, how hopeless it may seem. There is nothing hopeless for the Lord. All he will say to you today is lift up your head and let the King of glory come in. Know that you are more than a conqueror in Christ, and none of these things should be able to move you. And in one word, he can say, just like he said to Lazarus, come out of there. Praise ye the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Well, what are the things that we have to overcome? All of these challenges of life. Not only should we overcome the devil. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 tells us that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Well, we know that. But you have to also overcome every situation, every single day. You have to overcome. You have to overcome the aggravation that the devil brings. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes the devil, he'll aggravate you. See, he'll, you know, stir up something and so forth like that to steal your joy. See, you know, because once he steals your joy, then you cannot be in unity with the spirit of praise. You can't be in unity with the spirit of worship because you are angry, see. You are bitter and all of that. You know, the devil will strike up all of these things and so forth, but you must overcome it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, how do you overcome some of these things that devil brings? Well, you overcome some of these challenges, I mean, these things that devil brings, you know, some of these things by the fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering, patience, kindness, meekness, you know, tenderness, all of these things, faith, hope, and love, you know. These things will overcome all of these little foxes that the devil brings. See, when the devil stirs up something in your face, how do you overcome it? Long suffering, patience, meekness, tenderness. You know, you can't always cast it out. See, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But if you can't cast it out, you overcome it by the fruit of the Spirit. See, you know, if you say, you know, let's say somebody stirs you up, and you say, well, I rebuke that spirit in the name of the Lord. Well, I don't know if anything happens or won't happen. But if you have the patience and the love, the Bible says, Lord, cover the multitude of sins. Even with the patience and so forth, you can overturn some of these things. Even the Bible says, what does it say about grievous words and so on? It says a soft answer. See, turns away even grievous words. Not exactly rebuke. And what is a rebuke anyway? This wasn't part of my message, but it's just coming to me now to say, you know. Now, when Jesus rebuked the fever from Peter's mother-in-law, what did he do? What did Jesus do? You know, because we say that all the time, I rebuke this thing. Well, that's not a rebuke. That's just something you said. A rebuke is something you do. How many of you know there's a difference? Now, let me talk to you a minute for that, because the Holy Spirit just brought this to my mind. It wasn't part of my message. A rebuke is something you do, not something you say. I mean, if I say, I rebuke you. I mean, let's a child is running around and so forth. I say, I rebuke you. What have I done? Nothing. But you tell the child, now you stop that. And you sit down over there. Now that's a rebuke. How many of you understand that? Now, so you don't just say to the devil, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. What is it that you are doing? Tell the devil what to do. Tell him where to go. And tell him how to take his hand off your business. Now that's a rebuke. Don't just say, I rebuke you. If you just say, I rebuke you, well, I rebuke you. What? You know? I mean, if I'm doing something, I say, I rebuke you. Rebuke me what? Tell me what it is. See? So if somebody is doing something wrong, when you want to rebuke them, you tell them what not to do. That's a rebuke. So when Jesus came in the house, and Peter's mother-in-law was lying down with a fever, and when they reported it, when the writers of the gospel reported it, they said, Jesus rebuked the fever. Well, they're just reporting what he did. Not that Jesus went there and said, fever, I rebuke you. Of course he didn't do that. He said to the fever, now you know this woman needs to be up and about and be doing something, so you get out of her life. And he went about his business. Now that's a rebuke. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, so when the devil, he comes against you, you rebuke him, but don't just say, I rebuke you. Amen. You tell him where he can go. And you tell him how he can take his hands off your business. Hallelujah. You see? And if you have a business and so forth like that, you know, you don't tell the devil, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. No, you tell the devil what not to do. Amen. See? You say, hey, now this place, you know. See, this is my place here that the Lord has given me. So I want you out of here. Yeah. And I don't want you to be a part of this. Now get thee hence. Yeah. That's what the Lord used to say. You know, he told Legion, get out of him. Yeah. You know, and they might say, he rebuked the devil. Yes, he did, but he told him something. Yeah. He told the devil where to go. Yeah. He said, now you can go in the swine. See, now you tell the devil, take his business and get out of your life. Yeah. And if the devil aggravates you, you do something to rebuke him, but not just say the word rebuke. Yeah. Now, how many of you understand that now? See, so there's a difference. You do something, you tell the devil where to go. Amen. And sometimes when it is things like anger and clamor and bitterness and so forth, sometimes it's the love of God that rebukes that spirit. You don't even have to say nothing. You just do the love of God. You just have that spirit of Christ. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that will overcome many of the things that the devil is throwing to us. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now today, the Lord, he wants us to be victorious. Not only in the challenges in the physical world, but also in the spiritual world, the emotional world, everywhere. He wants us to be. And he said we are more than conquerors. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now David was used to saying things like, by my God, I've run through a troop. By my God, I've leaped over a wall. Now can you run through a troop? Can you bulldoze anything that's in front of you in the name of the Lord? That's what David was saying. He said, though I am you know, a host you encamp around me, in this will I be confident. I will not fear. And if anybody rise up again, I will pull those them down in the name of the Lord. See, that's what he's saying. See, he's saying, now get out of the way or I'll run you over. Because there is no stopping for me. I'm going on. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Now David, he said, God, blessed be the Lord that teacheth my hands. See, to walk, and my fingers to fight. See, he knew what he was doing. And he wasn't as somebody that was beating the air either. I mean, he knew the Lord. He had seen the Lord in the deliverance of the lion. He had seen the Lord in the deliverance in the bear. And now he's going to face Goliath and he's going to get the victory. Because he remembered what great things the Lord has done for him. Every day of our lives, God, the Lord, he wants us to be a conqueror. I'm going to close with these next two verses. Isaiah chapter 52. Turn with me. Isaiah chapter 52. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Everybody still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 52. Awake. Verse 1. Awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Verse 2 is where I want to go this morning. It says, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is challenging us to shake ourselves from the dust. The Lord is challenging you to loose the bands off of your own neck. The Lord is challenging us to walk in the victory that God has purchased for us. And know that you are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Now, if you are more than a conqueror, then these little things should not get you down. Everything that Satan throws your way, or everything that God allows to happen, one way or the other, you are going to get a victory.
Amen.
Because the Lord, he already paid the price.
Amen.
And if we stand with the Lord, see, at one time the angel, he came, and Gideon, he said, in Gideon chapter 6, he said, what's your business? Are you on our side? Or are you on the side of our enemies? And the Lord, he told it to him. He set him straight. I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I am on the side of me. He said, I am come as captain of the Lord's host. Now you need to get on God's side. See, we can't be making God be on our side and so forth. I know that it's a figure of speech when we say the Lord is on our side and so forth. But really what it is we need to be on his side. See, because he's already finished the work.
Hallelujah.
So you need to get on the winning side.
Hallelujah.
That's really what it is.
Hallelujah.
For us to say the Lord is on our side, all it really means is we appropriate the things that he's already done. See, because he already said it is finished. I am Alpha and Omega. Behold, I make all things new. See, God already gave us the victory. We need to walk in that victory. And today, he wants us to have that victory. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor even things to come can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter the things that have not yet even happened. You say, why, you know, everything looks good for you right now because you say, well, you see, I'm not having any problems. Well, the Lord knows that you will. That's why he's having me preach this message. Before this week is over, you might run into one situation and you will remember this message. See, because everything may look like it's at rest right now, but the devil, he's going to stir up. He always does. See, but every time he stirs up, you knock him right back down. Praise ye the name of the Lord. When he raises up his holy head, you knock him right back down. You say, you are under my feet. Blessed be the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus, he said to the devil, get thee hence. And the Bible says he departed from him for a season. And he came back. He came back all the time. The Bible didn't record every little detail. But I guarantee you, the devil came back many times to Jesus. And every time the Lord did that same exact thing. Amen. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. See? And he always told him where to go. Yes. Get thee behind me. Get out of my way. I'm on my master's business. Amen. I'm on the Father's business here. Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Every time the devil raises up his ugly head, either by sickness, either by some kind of aggravation or challenge or any difficult situation that we're in, you knock him right back down. Amen. That's right. You put him right back where he belongs. Yeah. Because he is like a toothless bulldog. See? He can't do no biting. You know, he can bark and make a lot of noise and so forth like that. But you put him right back down where he belongs. And you say, I have the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you tell him to get out of your business. And stay out of your business. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And every situation that God allows in our life, it is for us. It is he wants us to get something out of it. When you win that victory, it's like climbing a ladder. See? And when you get to some place and there is a challenge there and you win that victory, you go a little higher. See? But if you don't win that victory, well, you either stay there or you fall down. See? If you're climbing a ladder, if you fall, you better get up quick, otherwise you'll tumble all the way down. If you don't get up quick, you will tumble all the way down. But every time you win, you go the next step.
Hallelujah.
And it is not that the trials or the tribulations or the challenges or whatever will finish just because you won one battle. No. There's always more things coming. But the same God that gave you the victory over this one, he'll give you the victory over the next one too.
Amen.
You just have to know that in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. I don't care which way the devil raises his ugly head. I'm going to knock his head right back down. Because I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. The Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood. And by the word of our testimony. This is the word of your testimony this morning. Can you have that testimony like Paul did? He said, I am persuaded. That in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. Do you have that testimony this morning? Can you say, like Paul said, I know. See, in fact, one time they told Paul, he said, one prophet came and he carried, you know, girdle and did all of these things and so forth, a prophet named Agabus. And he said, the Holy Spirit witnesses and so forth, that, you know, this man that owns this thing is going to trouble for him in Jerusalem and all these things. And Paul said, you know, thank you very much. But I don't care about that. None of these things move me. I am persuaded that I am going in the name of the Lord. And I will get the victory. I don't care whether the devil put me in jail. I don't care whether he throws me over here and so forth like that. You know, ever checked Paul's resume out? He was always in jail. How would you like somebody like that to be your pastor? Send your resume for a pastor. They say 3 times in jail. This time in this and so forth. That's not a very good testimony. You know, but he was not in jail because of sin. The Bible says, suffer not as an evildoer. Paul was in jail because of his testimony for the Lord. And he wouldn't give an inch. He stayed right with it and he told it to their face. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He even told them, he said, after the way that is called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Now some people say it is heresy, but Paul said, well, that's the way I know how to do it, and I'm going to stay right with it. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And Paul wouldn't give an inch. See? And at the end of the day, he said, I have fought a good fight. Oh boy. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And say, henceforth is laid for me a crown of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Now, are you fighting the good fight? Are you keeping the faith? Are you staying on course? Can you say at the end, like Paul said, I have kept the faith? Up till now, have you kept the faith? Or will you draw back when challenges come? Are you fighting the good fight? Are you on the winning side? Are you staying the course? The Bible says, if any man puts his hand on the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Are you drawing back? Jesus said, as we shall have no, he said, you know, I'll have no pleasure if any man draws back. See, unto perdition. He said, but we are persuaded better things of you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you because you have given us a victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Victory over all the plans of the enemy. Jesus himself said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Everything that the Lord allows the devil to bring, we have victory over it already. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. So Father, we thank you today because we have the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are more than a conqueror. In every situation, we are more than conquerors. We thank you because none of these things will move us. We are going to lift up our heads. We are going to allow the King of Glory to come in. And this King of Glory, he will come in and we will have the victory in his name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I want the church to do something for me this morning. I want everybody to come forward here. We're going to do this together. Everything that Satan has brought or is bringing or whatever we are going through, we're going to make a declaration of faith this morning that we are more than conquerors. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. I want everybody to repeat this with me. It says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I want everybody here. Now everybody here has something that they are going through. We all do. It may be a crisis at work. It may be a family. It may be a loved one. It may be finances. It may be emotional. It may be a situation on your business. We all have these problems. We all have these challenges every day. But today, let us make a declaration that none of these things will even bother us. We're going to stay focused on the joy of the Lord. We are going to know that none of these problems will move us, and we are moving ahead. You know, let whatever do whatever he wants. You know, one time Jesus, you know, he didn't mind the storm at all. He just went in the back of the boat and he was sleeping. Because he knew the storm couldn't do anything. It would just ride itself out. The storm will go up and down, but that storm is coming down. That's the same way it is. Every night must break into day. No matter what we are going through, it must pass.
Amen.
Everything that has a beginning has an ending.
Amen.
The only thing that has no end is the Lord himself.
Amen.
So your situation, your challenge, your difficulty, it has an end.
Amen.
And the end is when we get into the confidence of the Lord. The Bible says we've heard of the challenges that came into the life of Job, but we have seen the end of the Lord.
Amen.
The end of the Lord is the confidence that we have. Wherein Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. He said, you know, you got to get to that point where he said, look, I don't care about any of these things because they will not move me. Nevertheless, I am more than a conqueror anyway. And so, devil, get out of my business. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, let's pray. Everybody, I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray and begin to challenge and push back the forces of the devil in your life and everything that the devil around you, your family, your business, Everything that you touch, any challenge or any obstacle or any uprising that the devil is trying to bring, get to push them back in the name of the Lord. Because you are more than a conqueror. Come on now, let everybody pray. Lift up your voice and call upon the name of the Lord. And command the powers of heaven that are at your disposal. Let them move and walk. Let them create situations to bring you into the rest of the Lord. Holy Bashata Ronoka Urina Sikalina Busha. Rialabakundis Kitarina Busha. Rialabosha. Risandarabakundis Kirialamaka. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be thy name. Blessed be thy name. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory for your people, Lord. Victory on every side. Thank you because you have made us to be more than conquerors. You have lifted that up of our head, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, in every situation, we thank you because we triumph over everything in the name of the Lord. We have the victory in Jesus' name. We are more than a conqueror on every side. We know that you will help us. We will not be ashamed. We will not be confounded. We set our face up like a flint. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Losing upon your people, Lord, the spirit of grace. The spirit of grace upon your people in Jesus' name. The Bible says, if we shall release anything, it shall be released. Lord, I release the spirit of grace, the spirit of understanding upon thy people in Jesus' name. The Bible says, let him go forth with the spirit of power and might in the Lord, the spirit of quickness to understand the fear of the Lord, the spirit to understand the things that God has freely given us in Christ. We release it upon the people today in Jesus' name. Father, we have the victory in you. We give you all the praise and glory. All the things that are contrary, the Bible says, we shall bind anything upon the earth, they shall be bound in heaven. Well, today, we would like to arrest all the things that offend in our lives. Everything that offends. You know, Paul, he used to say, you know, be mindful of my bonds. Well, bonds are like chains. That's what binding means. It's like arrested, I'm thrown into jail. So today, let us gather all those things that offend. Starting from unforgiveness. Starting from the little foxes that spoil the vine. Starting from every other thing in our life that does not please the Lord. Let's put them together into the prison this morning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father Lord, we take all the things that offend. All the spirit of bitterness and clamor and anger and all of these things. We put them in the prison. In Jesus' name. Lord, we release the spirit of truth, the spirit of grace, the spirit of sonship upon your children. Wherein we can cry, Abba, Father. Blessed be thy name. We thank you, Lord, for the victory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. I want to sing this chorus. It's a short chorus, and I'd like you to sing it with me. You may not know it, but it's really very simple. It says, I have my liberty. Jesus has set me free. I have my liberty in him. And I will sing it one or two times, and you can sing with me. It says, I have my liberty. I have my liberty. I have my liberty. My liberty, I have my liberty. Jesus has set me free. I have my liberty. In my liberty, I have my liberty. Jesus has set me free. I have my liberty. In my liberty, I have my liberty. Jesus has set me free. I have my liberty. Amen. Well, I'd like you to sing that chorus with me. It really is very simple.